Yeah, sound guy, can we turn the manual pipe up a little bit, please? Like, all the way?
It's getting better.
Call me.
I don't know what else to say anyway.
Today.
Have we verified we have a signal going to the other end?
Oh!
The projector's busted. How nice. We could go without those people, I guess. People in that room, a bunch of losers. But I can't hear me say that. So
for those of you who are just
listening. None of you are going to tell them. My heart has been imitating my voice. Stop it now.
Yeah, Chester, you do a really good manual with that.
Alright, just so people know, this is a social engineering panel, but we're also kind of co-opting it into a Kevin Mitnick panel because we're actually able to get him to join us via phone link. The problem is, there's a slight problem in that we are trying to get the phone line here, and we have to bribe the hotel people to let us use one of their lines, so we're in the process of doing that. We have a line. Okay, the bribe has gone through.
All me.
Okay, first, does anybody have that, a few people showed me a little press release from AT&T. Can someone bring that up? This is really kind of cool. Just to show how the power of suggestion.
Good stuff, you know. Just go up here.
Yes, go.
Go that way.
Okay. This a bunch of people got this this little memo. Be aware of who is calling. AT&T Security warns employees this weekend to be especially careful about giving proprietary company information to anyone claiming to be an AT&T employee or customer as part of a H2K hacker conference. July 14th to 16th in New York City, there is a social engineering contest.
Oh, that was terrible. Thank you.
There was a social engineering contest where hackers try to use the phone in an attempt to gain proprietary information about a company. If anyone unknown to you calls for such information, request a callback number and check it before returning the call. Verify the person is an AT&T employee or legitimate customer and if he or she has a need to know. If you can't verify employment or the number, don't give out the information. Any incident or apparent attempt to compromise the security of the company's network and or computer systems should be reported immediately to AT&T Corporate Security. I think AT&T Corporate Security should be the first target. I'd like some more information about this myself. So, I guess what we have to do is we have to get, first of all, do we have a link to the other room? I want to make sure they're there.
Can they hear us?
Hang on, can they hear us in the other room?
Yes, they hear you.
Okay, can they hear us in the other room? I guess my mic here. Maybe a phone number starts with an N. Okay, we're not going to go further until they join us with the audio. It shouldn't take very long. It only took us an hour on Friday to figure it out. So, we had it working before.
By the way, the
other Chris, you be the guy. Give him a round of applause there.
Phone number for Puckett headquarters.
Oh, yeah.
908-221-2000 is AT&T Corporate Headquarters. Back in Jersey.
Okay. Yeah, just ask
for
it.
Yes, it'll
be
a little. Yeah. Well,
we've got
the demo. It might not be open. It's just kind of weird
when you think of it. So we still don't have
audio together, right? I'm waiting for it.
We have audio.
Hello, other room.
You're not missing anything because there's no video except our faces.
You all already know what we look like.
Yeah.
Unless you're a federal officer, then you don't really know, you get to know what we look like.
Okay, well, I want to start with zero knowledge, okay? So then you give us a phone number. We don't even have that yet. So let's start with nothing. All right, so let's get 800 information. Getting a fast busy here. Yeah, I've got it on my own. This is such a crude version. Okay, I got to ask you to be quiet because 1,000 people laughing kind of ticks them off. Remember when you got an operator right away?
Yes,
sir. Still on hold.
But we know that our call is important to you.
Is this loud enough? Can you guys hear this? Bring up the phone.
We have video on SkyTalk. Okay.
Please continue to hold.
Say what? Excellent, thanks. Not that kind of feedback. That's feedback. Tell me about people. See, years ago when they had people working for them, you would call and you'd get a person and they'd give you the number. Now you got to hold and wait for the one operator that can push the button to play the computer message.
Someone will be with you soon.
Maybe this is some of the information they're not supposed to give us this weekend. You know?
Thank you for your patience. Your call will be answered as quickly as possible.
Uh-huh. Which in AT&T's world is not very quick.
Just enough time for 2 games of solitaire.
Let's introduce ourselves while we're waiting for this. Treasure Catalyst.
I'm Treasure Catalyst. And my kind of
favorite.
I live in Central Florida, and I called up 407. I went through the list of available numbers and decided to put the countdown capital of the world to that area code 321. And the Public Service Commission.
Hello.
There I am.
Hey,
yeah. Hey,
that's
our
the word. Public Service. The word Public Service Commission throw fear into any telephone operator.
All right. So, Ryan, 100. 800. Yeah. Maybe we'll luck out this bit. Actually, when I'm on the phone, you can turn my mic down. That way I won't get feedback.
Okay? Good
thing to pick the phone up. Okay, I
they
already said that?
Yeah.
Please try again later.
Like,
if you didn't take our call at all.
All right.
We're hanging up.
The other thing, let's stick with the people before we hang up so we don't blow out the speakers. All right.
Yeah.
We need phone.
Better, but the problem is that they're cutting off all information to everybody.
I know.
Yeah.
221-2000. AT&T corporate headquarters in Basking Ridge, New Jersey.
Okay. Phone up.
Phone up.
Yes, hi. I'm calling about a memo I received concerning something called social engineering. Do you know anything about this?
No, I don't.
Receive it. It was AT&T corporate memo here. I'm in marketing in, on 34th Street. And I'm sorry. I'm having trouble hearing. It's a bad connection. This went out last Thursday, I believe. It came up with corporate security.
Okay,
what's that?
1-800.
822. 900. Would they be in though?
I don't know, sir.
Okay, I'll give it a try. Thanks for your help.
We got the number they weren't going to give us on internet information. So now we have their corporate security number.
Hackers 1, ATT 0.
Let's start putting this down together. I'm a little unclear as to who I should be. I mean, why am I calling these people asking their information? I mean, we need a good plausible excuse.
We've been receiving several calls from asking for somebody to give customer information.
Who am I? We're in marketing on a Sunday.
Yeah. Well, first off, you need a location. So, 32 Avenue of the Americas is here in Manhattan, and is an AT&T headquarters building.
Okay.
So, we're at, and we know that that address will bring the dollar down. So, we're at 32 Avenue of the Americas.
Is there a particular bit of information we want to get from you?
I don't know. They've got a big buzz. So.
Yeah, instructions on what you're supposed to do when the hackers call.
Just a little bit on the work side.
Hey, this is Drew Pepper here. Did everybody else write that number down?
Sales in the Americas. I had gotten a memo about something that might be going on this weekend. I was wondering if you could give me more information concerning something having to do with information being obtained by people that weren't supposed to obtain it or something like that. It's very sketchy. I heard it thirdhand, but this is something that we should be a little bit more careful this weekend. Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, you should definitely be careful about giving any information. I mean, it's always a good idea to be especially careful giving out information if somebody's calling in. And this weekend was going on as some sort of a conference for hackers, and they're calling in and doing a lot of live demonstrations. So they'll call in to different businesses and whatnot.
I don't understand. What's the purpose behind that?
Well, to obtain information so that they can use that to defraud, probably ultimately to defraud you or your business.
You're saying is that the whole conference of people doing this?
That's what I understand, right?
And that's legal?
I don't know the legalities around it. I guess, for them to meet it. Not illegal, but certainly if they do something that I don't know all the what's surrounding it, but in a nutshell, be on the lookout. This weekend and any time. Today I know was the day that. By the way, the memo that you had received was you received an email or.
Actually, a co-employee who has since lost the memo told me about it, and that's why I'm calling for clarification. Is there any way to get another copy of that?
You were an AT&T.
Yeah, I'm from the Americas.
Okay. Do you have a... What was your name?
I'm sorry, my name is Mr. Goldstein. Armand. If I give you a fax number, would you be able to just send that over?
Well, I don't.
But I just find it amazing that you say there's a group of people that are planning to do something and nothing can be done to stop them.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, freedom of, they're covered under the First Amendment. And this is not, I mean, this is not something that's actually hidden from the public. It's more or less, you know, the, I mean, the, they can't have, obviously, in the meeting advocate doing anything illegal, but the thing they may talk about in the meeting are for the purpose of probably, hackers, you know, it is
yeah.
Thing. But in general, like I said, yeah, anytime somebody calls in and asks for something like, you know, information that you wouldn't normally give out, it's just a good idea to get, or if they're claiming to be with a phone company or anything like that, or obtain information that you don't feel comfortable giving out. The memo just states, you know, don't do what they're asking without asking for their callback number or their name. And then call them back and verify that they're who they say they are, and all of that. That's the only thing the memo stated. I know it was today.
Okay, and it went out to every ATP office. I assume more than just locally, right?
Yeah, well, I know it was available in ATP today on Friday, I believe. Can you hold for a moment?
Yeah, sure. Thank
you. Thanks for holding. Your last name was Goldstein.
Yeah. Well, you know, this speakerphone is really. It's not, it's a radio show, I can speak of.
Okay. What was your first name?
Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D. Anyway,
I was just looking in internally to see your email list there. I didn't see your name here.
No. No, it's not likely you would.
Right. Why would what does that mean?
Well, basically, we were just making our first phone call. And
I
telephone.
I just kind of handed that one to us, didn't I?
Sweet.
I think he was starting to suspect.
You're like, okay.
When you have to understand filter in there, it becomes a point of no return where you just can't recover. Because, you know, whatever.
No, that's precious. Oh, hey.
Okay, so if you guys want to tell some stories,
yeah.
Okay,
oh, hey, introduce myself. I'm Virus. Did anybody actually make my virus talk today?
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Love you, Mayor.
I'm actually from California. My first trip out here to New York. Actually, that's not true. I was out here when I was a year and a half. Don't remember anything. And this place is awesome. I really like that here. I was also a professional magician for 15 years. So being a professional magician, basically as a magician, you are social engineering when you're on stage 24/7. And on top of that, I like to get a lot of free stuff. So we're going to discuss a couple different techniques and stories here. I have some techniques if you want to go out and have some fun. There's specific things you can do that will actually help you out a lot. One is dealing with props. I have discovered that if you have a hard hat, a clipboard, and you're wearing a suit, you can go anywhere the hell you want. Kid you not. I've been to 2 Rush concerts, went to Pink Floyd, and I went to Oingo Boingo. Did not buy a ticket. Walked in, said, "Hi, safety inspector." This is when I had short hair. Walked right through, and said, "Oh, no problem." And gave me a security escort, and basically took me anywhere I wanted to go. And I said, oh, okay, oh, cool. Do you mind if I just sit here and like enjoy the show? Hey, no sweat, you know. No problems. The thing with the social engineering is when you first start, I mean, if you're going to commit, you have to commit 100%. You can't back out. You can't start sweating. You can't start shaking. Anything you say to the person, you have to believe yourself 150%. You know, if I'm telling you that I'm a safety inspector, I've got to believe that I'm a safety inspector, and I've got to act like a safety inspector, or it's not going to work. And then people with badges walk away with you, and that's not fun. So I mean, start looking at the part and start looking at what you need to do to get into the places you want to go. Remember that people inherently will trust you 100% of the time. Well, maybe not 100%, but most of the time. If you act like you know you belong there, they'll never let you walk through. I've gone into many, many places just because I'll just start walking right through the door, looking very determined, look at the guard, go, what's up? Boom, right through. And you go, okay. Obviously, I belong there because I said, hey, how you doing? Get the eye contact. Get the recognition.
Be friendly.
Be friendly. That's one of the best ways you can do things. I got into the pit of the Indianapolis 500 this year. It was actually the pole trials. I was down there, went down to the pole trials, and I said, you know what, I want to get into the pits. I want to check this out. Well, the securities were at each side of the gates, and they were blocking everybody in. If you didn't have a pit pass, you could not get in. So I waited until one of the guards was distracted, and just as she was being distracted, I walked by the other guy inside on show and said, yo, man, what's up? Good to see you again. And I walked right towards the pit and started talking to one of the pit crew, and I was like, hey, how you doing, man? But what he sees is me sitting there talking to a pit crew and pointing at the car and discussing things with the car. Or an actor was like, hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, what's happening, man? And he's like, oh, obviously he belongs here, you know. And I start walking up and down the pit. I said, okay, I'm bored with this. Go find something else to get involved with. But it's all determination, and it's your attitude. Your attitude is going to carry you or drop you one way or the other. Give you a quick little story of one thing that I did. I like to play practical jokes. I think practical jokes are the funnest thing in the whole world. But I don't like to do it to my friends as much as I like to do to, like, you know, the lay person. So we actually got a radio. We were in the old brick, bulky radios, and we hauled it out and put a tape recorder inside of it. So if you press the talk button, it actually would play the tape. And dressed up in a suit, a hard hat, and a clipboard, and got into an elevator in a building, and grabbed the thing and pressed the button and said, yeah, this is John. I'm going up to the 14th floor. I'm in elevator 3. I'm going to inspect elevator number 2. And that was in there. Did you say elevator number 3? And I start talking. Yeah, that's right, elevator 3. He goes, oh, man, you have to get out of there. They're working on the cables. So I calmly walked off the elevator to the next floor and almost got trampled. And then the next thing I know, there's a lot of these people like running towards the elevators and, you know, inspecting crews and maintenance people, and we left quick.
Okay, actually, I should probably talk to this phone to avoid the horrible feedback. Ready?
Yeah. We have...
Kevin is with us. Kevin Mitnick. According to John Markoff, according to John Markoff, New York Times, Kevin is probably the most dangerous social engineer in the history of the world. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but well, Kevin can probably explain it better.
No, I don't. We all know that that the media hyped me up, and John Markoff specifically. I created a character and write a book about me, and you know, prophets. But everybody knows about that. And, you know, it's a pretty worn out subject. But I'm sorry I'm not able to be with you at H2K. The probation department has taken a position that I can't travel, so obviously I can't go to New York. However, pretty much allowed to go to Las Vegas because my family's there and have pretty much to travel that they're going to let me do. Let's see. This is a social engineering panel, so I can tell you a story of what I kind of things that I used to do when I was like phone freaking and hacking years ago. And it really came easy to me. I guess, manipulating the telephone company because they were, because of the size of the phone company and the amount of people that worked there, were able to learn the lingo and do some sort of, you know, homework and intelligence gathering. It was quite simple to manipulate them. And one of the things that was a surprise to me was the phone company had this, well, at least the phone companies on the West Coast had a thing called a non-customer. And whenever a manager or, I guess, a first-level supervisor needed to get an unlisted number and they only had the name and the city, they'd have to call a division within the phone company called the non-sub bureau, and they would have a list of authorized people that were allowed to receive that information. And what they would simply do is ask you for your callback number, ask you who you are, and then once you gave them all the requests that you wanted, what they would do is just simply call you back. And so how I what I thought about is, you know, what I simply needed to do was have them call me back and, you know, verify who I was to, you know, get this information. So what I did is how I first started out is I needed to get the telephone number to the non-sub bureau in the phone company that I was interested in targeting. So what I simply did was call the business office and use some sort of pretext or ruse, usually that I was a different representative from a different office or that I was from the non-sub bureau itself. I mean, I would use some sort of ruse. Usually I did this all by improv, except that, you know, I was really had a, I really had a true target, then I would do my homework, but pretty much everything was improv. And I basically say something to the effect I am with the non-sub bureau. I had some representatives, you know, claim that they were having trouble getting through to our main number, and then I, you know, would, you know, kind of exchange pleasantries and try to establish some sort of degree of trust with who I was speaking with, and then basically ask, you know, the main question was, what number are you calling for us? But I would have to ask other questions that, so. So it wouldn't really tip them off to what I was really after. And then once I obtained the number of the non-sub bureau, then I would simply call around to first-level supervisors or second-level managers, and how those numbers would be obtained is just simply by asking, you know, the customer service reps for them. And then I would ask, you know, I would represent myself as being from this non-sub bureau and ask, you know, if they were authorized. And, you know, receive the numbers because what we're doing is we're updating the list, and we want to make sure that if you are authorized, you're on it, or if you're not, you can fax you a form or, you know, some sort of ruse like that. And usually they would tell you. And right away, you don't even know what their callback number is because you already have their number that you're calling. So now you have a valid name and a valid callback number. So then what I would simply do is call the area of the phone company that handled that particular telephone service. Now, it could have either been done through, like, accessing the switch and adding call forwarding to the number, which usually they already got call forwarding, or in instructing the switch to forward the number to whatever target number you wanted, a payphone, a cell phone, or whatever. Call up the assignment bureau within the phone company, find out the blocking or the cable impair, and call the frame and just have one of the frame techs click on the line and forward the number for me to wherever I wanted to receive the call. So then I would call the non-sub bureau, I would say that I'm so-and-so, I call back to so-and-so, it would be validated, then they'd call me back, and then they would, you know, pretty much give me all the requests that I had. And I'd simply call the frame and have them clip on the line and deactivate the call forwarding, or I'd go into the switch itself and deactivate the call forwarding myself. So that was like a story of how, just by social engineering, you know, I was able to basically obtain anybody's English telephone number. And most likely, those techniques probably could still be used today unless, you know, these phone companies really create some policies and procedures, and the people follow them to the T. Because a lot of a lot of ways or well, a lot of ways that social engineering was accomplished was doing some homework, finding out like who was important in the organization, kind of like the hierarchy of people in, that work for certain groups, trying to get some names, get some extensions, trying to find out who was on vacation, who managed what project, and then I would try to, in other words, do the intelligence gap, try to find out if it is that I possibly can, and then, if possible, try to find out if they have a voicemail system, if they have email, what faxes existed in what location, and that way, I could, if I wanted to, I could set up prior some sort of false authentication, if you will, where if I if there was a question of who I really was, that could be verified either by fax, telephone, or email, or voicemail. And what I used to be able to do is infiltrate these systems and establish a valid callback, a valid fax number, have somebody create me a voicemail box off their PBX, and that way, if there was any question, they can call back and verify. And I don't know if you're still on the line, Eric, but...
Yeah, we have a ridiculous setup here, but it works.
It's kind of hard, who I'm speaking with and stuff like that. I'm just giving some examples. Like, for instance, I remember, I think it was over 10 years ago, with AirTouch, which is a cellular provider in Los Angeles. I think that Verizon recently talked about. But in any event, when I wanted to obtain information from AirTouch Cellular, what I would simply do is I call up the voicemail administrator and basically posed as an employee that was with AirTouch in one of their other markets, because they have other markets like San Francisco or Atlanta. And I convinced the person, usually like to improvise ruse, that I needed to be able to receive a voicemail at the local office, so I would have to make a cold call back to my office day in Atlanta or something like that. And what they would usually do is they'd be trying to, they're trained to be helpful and really not trained to really question. So what they would do is they'd go ahead and set up a voicemail box, an internal voicemail box. So anytime you call either the company trying to obtain information, you have a valid extension off their PBX to their voicemail box, and they would simply really believe that you want to be safe. Well, it was just really, it was really easy to me to be able to do this type of stuff. And then, when I was hacking, it depended on, my objective. If I really wanted to be stealth and not really raise any suspicion, then the only social engineering I would do would be to get information, subtle, not really call up anybody and have them do anything that really they're going to remember. Because the media, pretty much, when I read reports about social engineering, they characterize it as simply calling up and talking to somebody after their password. And I don't think I've ever, maybe on one or two occasions, actually asked somebody for their password, because that's a huge red flag.
There are some corporate memos going around saying the same thing too.
Yeah, that's a huge red flag. One of the methods that would be the closest to that was successful was when you call somebody up and you're interacting with them, you can really determine how knowledgeable they are about the computer system that you're using. You can kind of get a gist for how, if they're suspicious, if they're really wondering if this call is legitimate, and really you're basing it's very dynamic in a sense that you have to use some sort of people skills to determine if a person you're speaking with would be suspicious if you ask them to do something with that. Think that we want to really verify who you really are. You speaking, I have kind of get a sense for it. At least I was able to get a really good sense for it when I was speaking with people. And the closest, you know, like if somebody was really gullible, they didn't have their computer knowledge was limited, then you know, like some rules would be, hey, you know, I'm from the help desk, you know, somebody reported a problem, can you work with me over the phone, but I'd like you to tell me everything that you're typing as you're doing it. And you have the person go through a whole bunch of stuff where they're getting tired of it, and then I would have them either log off the system and log back on, and as they're doing that, they'd be, you know, telling me every keystroke that they're entering into the system, which would include their password. But I'd never be in a position where I would actually say, hey, what's your password? Because that's like a big red flag. And in these types of, you know, techniques that we use, I'd never do anything or suggest anything that would, be questionable. And I hear all the feedback.
Yeah, well, it's a mystery to us, too. Kevin, we only have about 10 minutes left.
That was basically, you know, there's a couple stories I thought that was interesting.
What we'd like to do is we'd like to open up to questions. I don't know if is there a microphone out there? It's not. If people can come up here, we can put the mic.
Yeah.
And we only have a couple of minutes. If you have questions for Kevin, I think just walk up to the stage.
Yeah, come up to the stage so you can get on the microphone.
And then hopefully Kevin will give an answer.
Okay. If you have a question, come up to the stage, speak on the microphone.
Anybody?
Kevin Mitnick on the line. Somebody must have a question. Here we go.
Yeah, I have a question. How do you remember this so clearly after all the years you've been locked up?
Talk a minute.
Can you hear that?
No.
Do you have an answer?
I can hear everything.
Okay, how do you remember this so clearly after so many years?
I just have a good memory.
Step by step, how do you ask?
Well, once you develop a process, you just keep using the same process. So, yeah. It's not like, hey, I only did it one time. And
I can't hear anything else in your thoughts.
Sorry.
I'm talking to the phone.
Okay, I'll try to relay as much as I can. Okay. We have another question.
Hey, Kevin, how are you? Welcome back. My first question is, how do you control your emotions? I think that's the hardest part of social engineering, is to control your emotions.
Okay, the question was, how do you control your emotions while social engineering?
Emotion. Well, you try to make an emotional connection with the person on the other side, so you'll develop that trust. Because that's the whole idea, is you want to create a sense of trust between you and the other person, so they're more apt to give you information about the one in relation to go through some sort of verification process. And that's what pretty much social engineering all about, you know, establishing some degree of trust and then exploiting it.
Also, a point on that also is, if you just, back to what I said before, you really need to believe, you know, what you're doing. You need to, you know, be convinced yourself. If you don't know if you can do that, do what a lot of us do, is just go out and take an acting class. You know, because that's all you're doing, is you're acting, but you've got to make it believable.
We have a second room filled with people that also want to ask questions. We're relaying them via radio to us. So we have a question from the other room. Okay, well, let's go to this room.
How much research do you have to do into the role that you're playing as your social engineering?
The question is, how much research do you have to do into the role you're playing while social engineering?
Well, pretty much what I used to do a lot of it was improv. And it was just being in the moment, so to speak. But if I really wanted to get some information, then I'd do my homework. Like, first of all, the first company, I really understood their lingo, so it was easy for me. So I tried to, you know, the organization that's being targeted, I tried to learn the internal lingo, try to learn tidbits of information that employees would only know, try to have other names so those names could be dropped. Like, you know, for instance, when 60 Minutes profiled me on the show just in January, one of the examples I gave them was with Motorola. How I called up the engineering department and to try to find out who was the project manager, who were the people that had access to the development of the MicroTech series of cell phones, because I was interested in getting the source code. And I was transferred to a manager who told me that
project leader was on vacation, and that person also being the name of the project leader. So I was able to use that information and talking to people that worked for that person to convince them to do things that they would have ordinarily done if they knew that I wasn't legitimate. And one thing that the bottom line is if you really don't know the person and recognize their voice, you're really relying on some sort of, sense of trust. What I would suggest is if you're concerned about an employee or, a social engineer, there should be some sort of verification mechanism in place to really verify who you are if they don't really recognize the person. And a lot of people won't go through the trouble to do that. They just want to get their job done, they want to be helpful, they're trained to be helpful, they're not trained to question. Maybe in the military, that would definitely in corporate America, people are just interested in doing their job and doing things for productivity. And I don't know if things have changed nowadays 5 years later with the explosion of the internet.
A lot of things haven't changed. We're trying to take as many questions as we can in the couple of minutes we have left. We have a question from the other room. Go ahead.
From the other room, over the radio came through, what advice would Kevin give to corporate types who need to avoid being social engineers themselves?
The question is, what advice would you give to corporate types to avoid being social engineered themselves?
Corporate types or I guess their employees, I guess it all comes down to user awareness and education. With a videotape or voice from or any type of audio visual could be shown how this was done, how you could potentially be a mark is a person that is the victim of a con, so to speak. And if they can see a demonstration, it's all about raising their level of awareness. If there's the level of awareness is high, then there's people out there that do this type of thing, and how easy is it done, and about really questioning anyone that they don't really personally know when they get a phone call. One thing that kind of was a deterrent to me is if I was calling this company, and then they would say, something about their monitoring, for quality assurance. I don't know what the actual quote is, but you call these companies today and they say, hey, the quality takes your monitor to assure quality of your call. That'd be kind of a deterrent because you never know if you're really being faked or not. So that might be a consideration some organizations want to make. They want to make when they, on their main.
Kevin, we only have time for one more question. It's my solemn duty to inform you that question comes from Rebel. So take it away. And I'll be so glad to know
the question. The question is that I noticed that you're trying to get unlisted numbers. A lot of people ask me how to get unlisted numbers. I noticed you have to go through a lot of steps. Is there any way to go through less steps to do certain things or do some more tasks, take more steps to do, like getting an unlisted number or getting into a building or things like that?
Whoever wants to know how to get unlisted numbers.
Great. What are you trying to do? As soon as I hang up the phone, I'm going to have the FBI document in my phone. Come on.
Actually,
how you get unlisted numbers? Go hire a private eye. I'm sure, there's a lot of private eyes out there that hire people that do, that are information brokers that basically can get anything. That's how private investigators kind of insulate themselves from breaking the law, because all these new federal laws being passed about federal vehicle records, and they just partner up information brokers that charge high fees so they get the information. Obviously, everybody in the audience knows nobody has any private, any information about personal identity, day-to-day that's accessible by any government or federal or state employee is pretty much an open book to anybody else.
Okay, Kim, I want to thank you very much for being part of this. Sorry he can't be here.
I'm glad to be here. telephonically, and I just want to, you know, thank everybody out there for all the support they've shown me over the years, and hopefully at the next, you know, hope, maybe whenever that is, maybe next year or whenever, then I, you know, hopefully I'll be able to have the honor of meeting everybody. But,
yeah, and we'll get that film to you one way or another so you can finally see it.
Yeah, great, I'd love to see it. All right.
Thanks for the fantasy.
Have a great time, and, you know, I'll talk to you soon.
All right,
take care, Kevin.
In closing here, if you really, really want something, one of the recommendations I can make to you guys is play on other people's emotions. And it sounds really horrible, but it's true. If you call up the operator and you need an unlisted number, you know, there's things you can do. I've gotten unlisted numbers on people, you know, that I really needed to contact for legitimate reasons, but I knew AT&T or whoever wasn't going to give you those numbers. I think, hey, look, man, his grandmother just died. I need to get a hold of him, like, right now. You know, it's like, boom, number, you know. And, I mean, it's like, just be cool about it, you know. Actually, you know, we could call AT&T and say, hey, you know, we're Johnson Security, and we want to...
John from Security.
Was that the guy's name, John?
Jim from Security.
Jim from Security. Yeah, this is Jim from Security.
Security's going to have a
phone number and callback number.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll remember that for the rest of his life. If you walk across the street and go to a newsstand, you'll get today's copy of Newsday. There's a huge article in it about the whole DVD case. And it mentions the conference as well. And the amazing thing about this article, I can't find a single factual error. I mean, they're getting the story right.
Wow, right on.
The Captain David takes on Goliath thing, and they got, you know, Goliath's picture over there, Jack Valente, and they really did a good job. So if you can find copies of Newsday over there, by all means, pick one up. This comes out the day before the trial. It's a good thing. Okay, we've got some catching up to do, so I think Jonathan Hanson and his dad are going to be in the main stage, and the rest of the track two will be here. All right? Okay.
Thanks.
All right. We'll figure it all out.